Keep standing, put your hands together for the man of God today, Pastor Terrence George. Amen. As he comes to preach to us the word of God today. Amen. Praise God.
A pleasant good afternoon to everyone. It's a joy to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel like dancing. I feel like prancing. I feel like praising the Lord. You know why? He has saved and set me free. I've got the victory. Hallelujah. Could somebody just give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of the Lord? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I give the Lord honor and glory to be here this morning. The strength for us to be here, my family and I want to honor this morning the man of God in the house, Bishop Joseph, and his family. I want to also, amen, recognize every one of you, the council, if that's what you call it here. Amen. The deacon board. But I want to honor you and your wives in a very special way. Amen. I want to also recognize the worship team, musicians. I am intercessors. Intercessors. This is very important. So intercessors, I recognize you today and give the Lord praise and thanks for you. And all of the wonderful people of God, I greet you in the most precious name that is given to man, the name Jesus Christ. And I am grateful to God. Amen for every one of you. Amen. It is indeed a joy for me to be here. Today I was just, you know, reflecting back and I say God is a good God. Amen. You know, our sister was talking about all that was happening. Amen. And we would have had over in Grenada the chikungunya and it does a real bit on people. You know, you just get on and do what you want and so on, crump us up and all different kind of a thing. Amen. But we are still here. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. And she spoke about Ebola and so forth and so many different type of sicknesses, but we are still here. You know, I just want to give the Lord praise and thanks. Amen. Because we could have all be gone, but we are here this morning. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, my family, just stand because just stand. Stand up. What happened to you guys? Yeah, and Decima with us too, eh? She does play a kind of a stuff. But I'm married to her sister. So you can't get away from that. Amen. And Drexel is sitting down there with his baby. But we are so glad to have... Not his. Oh, my grandchild. Well, it's mine, it's his. Yeah, we all become one. Amen. It's so good for them to be here. I really thank the Lord for the worship this morning. Amen. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord, we're supposed to be joyful. Amen. And we're supposed to serve the Lord with a little bit of enthusiasm. Amen. Because you know what it is? Let me see those of you that used to go and dance. You know the dance flow. Amen. And when the special band comes on, you understand what I'm saying? With the special guitarist and the special bass and the wonderful soloist. Amen. The moment time we hear the announcement that so-and-so is going to be coming on, we get excited. Yeah. Yes. Amen. And we want to hit the floor. And that was all right then. That was a different setting for us. We are in the setting of the most holy music. The most holy God. Therefore, sometimes we have to be stylish. And then get... Yes. Amen. And give the Lord praise. So I felt like beaten a lot this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes we get on bad. It's not all the time. Or sometimes we just worship God crazy. And it's all right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I saw your sister. I see a while you're going to get crazy. And that is all right. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. I want to recognize the ladies' ministries, women's ministry, I think they call it now. Yes, this morning, and the president of the women's ministry here, that's you? Oh, God bless you so much. Amen. My wife is also the president of the ladies' ministries in Grenada, and she's up here at the time when they're celebrating their month of activities. But it was important for us to be here today. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. So I want to call my wife now, and just for a minute, I have to speak to her, because when you're here, you give her a minute. She doesn't want to stretch it. And I'm not sure if she didn't look at my notes for preaching this morning, and then she might want to preach. So can you come here, please, and just greet the church? Amen. And then Kellyanne was on the keyboard. Let me just do it quickly. Stand up. My handsome son-in-law. Yes, amen. He is on the keyboard, and his wife, and then Asha is up here for some time. Ali is here for some time, and I trust that you will assist in the drums and so on when it's possible and so forth. Amen, and so forth. So take a minute, yeah?
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, Bishop and his wife. Good morning. Just excuse me for my feet being on the ground just like that. But you see, when you're a warrior and you're an overcomer, you need some freedom. Amen. So if the shoe is going to be in the way, you got to kick it out. Amen. Whatever is going to be in the way of you worshiping God, you get it out. Amen. We are set free to worship this morning. And we are going to do just that. Worship God, because God has delivered us. And he has set us free. No more chains. So rejoice this morning in that freedom. God bless you.
Wow. That's an obedient wife today. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I bring greeting also for the church in Beaton, probably at this time. So, well, Kathy, one of our more excited women, she's supposed to be sharing this morning. We're preaching today, and maybe she finished by now. But I tell you, I could imagine the fire that was on the altar. You know, and Kathy ministered in the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Today, let me just quickly see if I can give you a bit of what the Lord has placed in my heart for us. And I know it's Ladies' Month. I knew that, but, you know, sometimes you have to listen to what God is saying. Amen? And in fact, the message suits well, because it's not a message for ladies, but it's a message for the church. Amen. So you are involved. So I want to minister to us this morning. Amen. I want to recognize my dear friend Noel's at the back there. God bless you so much. And our brother here and so forth, all of you, God bless you so much. Amen. Oh, we would have been rejoicing in the Lord. I trust that this morning nobody ain't going to get tired and sleep on me, because if you do, I'm going to move down close to you and I'm going to wake you up. I was setting an alarm clock on any one of you that want to sleep. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles today, and I'm sure you should have it, turn with me to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel. We're looking at the 16th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Hallelujah. And we will be reading from the 13th verse and on. When ministers have just, you know, like we have a one Sunday that we're going to minister, and I say that just for those Bible scholars who like a lot of history and a lot of background, which is all right, yes? So I'm just letting you know, in one particular time to preach, we can't go through all of the history. So I know that your servant here is a very capable man. So when I finish here, you might not have to ask me questions. But if you have any questions, you can ask the bishop. Amen? So I'm going to leave him, let him take care of all of those things that I'm not able to bring out this afternoon. But let us all stand together as we read the word of God.
from verse 13. You ready? Now, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now this question is still asked today. I mean, it's valuable. It's important. Amen. Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. You are mighty. You are God that does wonders. You are great. And I acknowledge your presence here today, Lord. And I believe, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit is here with us, Lord, and he is going to speak to us, dear Father, Lord God. That we will hear your word today loud and clear, and it will bring change to our life, dear Father. Lord, I come against right now every plan of the devil to distract and to cause discrepancies within the body of Christ, especially for this word this morning. I bind his powers, and I cause this atmosphere to become conducive now so that your Holy Spirit can move and life will be changed in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. It's a question for every one of us this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter this question, and I want to ask it today. Who do you say that I am? Not meaning me, but Jesus. And as we go along in this message this morning, I trust that it will serve a way of revolutionizing our lives. So we not only be member of a particular gathering or members of a particular church like we have here, or again, Church Avenue, Church of God, but we're going to be real members of the ecclesia. Jesus Christ as the head. Amen. We would have a very clear understanding of who we are in Christ. Because we realize over the years, you see, after persons give over their life to Christ, if we are not careful to remain steadfast and sure and have our mind stayed on Christ, we could lose grips on who we are. Amen. So this is the question. Who do you say that I am? God is indeed a God of timing. He does not do nothing at all without timing. Everything he does, it is because the time has come to do it. From the very inception of Jesus Christ on the earth, he could have made this declaration and asked this question. But he did not. Because he had to go through several different stages to get into this point. At the age of 12, he went into the temple. And he declared, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he had anointed me
And we know the scriptures. Amen. You can't go through all of that. So he said, the Spirit, that was the right time. The Spirit of the Lord, not 9 years. Amen. 12 years. Yes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach, to deliver, to set men free. He continued his ministry and look, I can't go through all of this, so you have to understand this. So I don't cut something short. Going through his ministry, Jesus reached at a time when it was important for him to now find out from his followers your perception or your opinion about who I am, because my time is short here. I have to go back to my Father, but I want qualified and dignified, spirit-filled men of God with an understanding and a knowledge of Jesus, who I am. So he looked at a place that probably in our time, like now, if Jesus would have said, I'm going up to Caesarea Philippi, lot of persons would have said, no God, not they. Why? Because that place was a place full of idolatry. Pagan worship. In fact, some people believe there was somewhere around 400, some people go as far as say 4,000 gods. It was significant because they had to clear it up because there was another Caesarea. Amen. One by the sea coast. It was not this one. This particular one, amen, was somewhere about, let me see how I get here now. A small city, 1,700 feet above sea level, at the foothills of Mount Hermon, 25 miles north of the Lake of Galilee, near the source of the Jordan. A place of full of idolatry and wickedness. Amen. And you could imagine, is that very place that the Lord God chose to go to ask such a question? There is a reason for that. Amen. If you could stand up in the midst of evil and wickedness, glory to God, and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you are a real man of God. Come on, somebody. I say, if you can stand up in the midst of all type of evil, in the very heart of paganism, glory to God. In the very heart, in fact, they said that this pan god was born, they believed you were born in some cave and you're half man and half goat. And if you could stay in a wicked place like that to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're ready to be a real disciple. So Jesus moved up into that place, and when he reached there, amen, he began a question. He says to the boys, his disciples, whom do people say that I am? I want to know about public opinion, because Jesus knew everything already, and he knew that the disciples was hearing, but he was getting into a question, amen, that will bring them in a position. Can I say to somebody this morning, the time God sometimes bring us into a position or ask us some question that will take us into our position where he wants us to be. So he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It sounds like you're just about to let go the cat from the box. But you see, Jesus is a very, I don't use the word smart, a man full of wisdom. Amen. He knew for sure the question that he asked there, the disciples didn't have to answer that, because you're saying, who do men say? Now quickly hear them. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elias. Some and others say Jeremiah. And then a next set of people say, you are just one of the prophets. Indeed, when you get into a history of all of these different names and persons that they call, amen, Christ could have lined up close to them in things that they would have done. John the Baptist, a man crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. They killed him, and the person who killed him believed that he would come back. He rose from the dead. So they were saying, it is John the Baptist rising from the dead and now back on the scene. And that was a trouble the one that killed him. And then some say, Elias, and quickly, in fact, this was a whole prophetic line of answers. Every one of them had to do in the prophetic. Yes? They say, Elias, we know him. Jeremiah, we know he's supposed to come back to preach the everlasting gospel. And then they say, one of the prophets will go down to all of the wonderful, powerful prophets. And listen to this very carefully, because this is the message I want to stick into our spirit, brother. Jesus, hearing what they said, never mention a word as to what they were saying. Can I speak to the church? The time has come when we need not to get ourselves tied up with public opinion about who we are in God. Come on, somebody. I said the time has come when we need to get ourselves away and forget about public opinion. Once you recognize that Jesus Christ said, amen, you are delivered. Glory to God. You are justified. In a courtroom, I set you free. I don't care what John say about me. Whether my foot lock and I have a red eyes and my... It doesn't matter what they say. You're ugly. You're wicked. You're going to come to nothing. Me no worry. Why? Because I know who I am in God. And I know my God. I know the God that I am serving. Can I stretch it into us? Because sometimes we would have to move out from public opinion and the thought of people on the outside and get into them of us on the inside, that sometimes want to speak evil, amen, and wrong sayings about a brother or a sister that does not match up with your status. I would have thought that Jesus would have looked and start saying, well, they get me wrong. I'm not Elias. They really get me wrong. I am not Jeremiah. I don't know why they said I'm John the Baptist. I don't know why people have this funny thing to say about me. Jesus ain't worry about that. I wish somebody today would get into a place in their life where you will stop worrying about what John say about you and James say about you. Glory to God. And get in a place where you know that 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 you are a child of the living God. Jesus look at them because he's interested in you personally. Oh God. Gone are the days when your mama is saved or your daddy is saved and you hold on the string, stand up. You hold on your mommy and your daddy, and once your mommy or your daddy saved, you say, well, I am saved too because the Lord is loving to my mommy and my daddy. It ain't work like that any longer. Can I speak to somebody? Me say, you know, work like that any longer. God want to hear you personally. I could be saved as much as I can. Amen. And my son want to do his own thing. Amen. God would not just pull him in with me because he is my son-in-law. You have to know Jesus for yourself. You have to have a personal relationship / encounter with Almighty God. You need to know, glory to God, whether or not you say, if it was Johnny Cash that sing a song sometime. He say, I was there when it happened, so I guess I have to know. Nobody, he said, nobody can tell me because I was there. I know when he saved me, and when he delivered me. I was there when it happened, so I can, yes, I have to know. So Jesus looked at them after hearing the question and typed to his disciples, I want to know now, boys, who do you say that I am? This I am word is not the first time it was sung. Amen. Long time ago, way back down, Jesus, amen, God, Moses, go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. Send me to tell you, willing or not, let my people go that they may serve me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the I am was around for some time. I am simply mean God is whatever you want him to be for you. Call on somebody. If you are sick, the I am is there for you. If you are frustrated, the I am is there for you. If you need deliverance, the I am is there for you. Whatever you need, the I am, hallelujah, is there for you. It's a funny way and a funny thing to tell a servant of the Lord to go before a king. But we serve a... I just only come and say, God, you are kind of God. We really serve a kind of God. God, look, man, Moses going down to a king, not an ordinary man. He's versed in seven languages. The man good. Now, I have to give this man some explanation. Because what you telling me is to go before that king who controls everybody, everything. And you're saying, oh, go and tell him, let my people go. Who would I tell him? Who gave you this message to come and frustrate my mind? Message to cause me to think and stress me out. Who? And he said, just tell him, I am that I am. You know what I believe about I am? Anytime a person begins to say the I am that I am, it causes people to baffle. But it don't cause the Christian to baffle because we know who the I am is. Not only that, a next part of scripture says, amen, before Abraham was, I am. He is still the I am. But you say, no, no, with all of this, no, this is the question here. Who do you say that I am? It's good when God turns his face from what they say to what we say. And Simon Peter, I believe, would have been there baffling his mind with what he just says. How come Jesus says nothing about that? I find this thing sound real. So he come here and say nothing. But he's asking me about we. You have to be identified, man. Yes. Can I speak to somebody as Christian? We have to get out of this thing where you want to be like the world. Amen. There must be some mark. Inwardly force. Outwardly. As to who we are. You know, I used to remember the days when people turn up and testify. And they'll say, I went to walk in this for the first time. And the person just look at me and say, are you a Christian? They were seeing something different. I don't know what they see in these days. Talk to me now. I don't know what they see in these days. What I believe happening in these days, we just have a God that is shut up on our inside, and there is no outer expression or manifestation as to what we say that we have on the inside. So we operate like them. We get mad like them. Come on, somebody. We speak like them. We dress like them. We behave like them. Everything we do like them. They can't see us any longer. All they see is human being. The time has come when God is expecting and looking forward for his church to become his church. When we can be identified as the body of Christ Jesus. In fact, sometimes we quarrel. Oh, God, help me here. Sometimes we quarrel more than the world quarrel. Sometimes what the world could take and smile, we can't do it. We want to outrun the world in slackness and in wickedness. Let me go, don't go down that road now. Who do you say that I am? And he sort of think carefully. He knew already, but you have to think carefully. Glory to God. And I could imagine these boys, the 12 of them, started to change. You know, like when you have The Price is Right, or you have this group of people. What do you think? You know, Jerry's, whatever it is. Can't remember. Yes? But when they ask a question, you see they get together and they try. Yeah, Family Feud. And they kind of counsel together. And then this one person come up with an answer. Peter was a spokesman for the 12. So he said, but this is a hard one in my own imagination. This is a hard one. What do you think? What do you think? And nothing come. Glory to God. Get me here. Why is he burning their head there? The Spirit of God. Ay, ay, ay. The Spirit of God immediately penetrated the man. This is why the Lord on the Bible says, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. On this note, let me tell you, I believe the church of God need a word within the word. Can I say somebody? I said the church of God need a word within the word. In other words, what we call a rhema word. When you have the written word, it's all right to read the written word. The written word is always there. The rhema word is in the written word. But I'm talking about a time and a position and a place when you need a direction. You need something of essence. There is a situation that is so intense, it is stressing you out. You cannot get the real thing to say. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes on the scene and strengthen you and speak to you. So while there was murmuring and wondering, the Spirit of God dropped inside of Peter. He said, listen, Peter, you got to speak this now. Say amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. This is profound. This is prophetic. This have everlasting victories in it. In fact, that confession of faith from any person, amen, would tell that individual whether or not they're going to heaven. Are you splitting hell wide open? If we can't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we have none of his. So Peter got the quickening. And he said, thou art the Christ. In other words, you are for sure the long expected, anticipated, anointed king. You are Jesus Christ. Amen. You are the same God way down there that said to Pharaoh, let my people go. You're the same God that walks through the prophets, amen, to cause them to things to happen. You're the same God who called Elijah, amen, to declare 16 miracles. And you're the same God that caused Elisha, amen, to go about and to do 32 miracles. You are the same God that speak to Jeremiah. Amen. You are the same God that spoke to Jonah going down that said, go and tell the people, repent. Jonah said to them, you're the same God. I see you now not only as a little carpenter born in a stable, not only a man who just went into the temple and began to open the book. I see you now as the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the rock in a weary land, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. I realize through this divine intervention by the Holy Spirit that you're the same God. Ah, you just come in the form of flesh. But my declaration, you are from the beginning. In the beginning, God. Hallelujah. All things was made by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. In him was light. And light was in the life of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Oh God. Thou art the Antichrist. Now, we have to understand, it takes him out of every other get to know God. Because remember we said he was in a pagan place. Yes? So there were several gods there. So Peter had to declare, no, you are the real deal. Not counterfeit. Not someone trying to operate like you. Elvis Presley would have died a long time ago. And we have people still trying to come out. And then what the next one is in? Michael, well, that was for Michael Jackson. Man, people imitating him all the time. But they are not Michael Jackson. You are the real deal. Somebody say you are the real deal. Look up to heaven and say you are the real God. You are the anointed one. You are the great almighty. Hallelujah. Somebody say you are my conqueror. You are my deliverer. You are my problem solver. Glory to God. You are my shade in the hot sun.
Oh God. Hallelujah.
Bishop, when you know him, nobody can tie you up. Listen to me. We have all kind of a doctrine today. Some of them tell you Holy Ghost is not for today. Some of them say even healing is not for today. Well, I got news for anybody that don't believe in divine healing. I'm talking about the medication. I'm not condemning medication. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about divine healing. Where we don't use no tablet. Help me now. None of these taking things, drop something on here, put some water. Try to go on it. No. I'm talking about divine healing. Glory to God. Amen. I know nobody can tie me up and tell me that healing is not for today. When I stand in this place as a man that had a slip disc, can't sit down for 5 minutes, can't stand up for 5 minutes, can't do nothing without a pain, severe pain in my back. Amen. And the Lord God caused us to enter a crusade down in Grenada. Amen. In Queen's Park area, preacher Selwyn Haling, declare by the presence of God, place your hand wherever you feel the pain. And he prayed a simple prayer of victory. And all of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, root out that thing in my back. Today I stand, glory to God, amen, amen, healed by the power of God. Don't tell me, amen, that today we are not in the days of divine healing. We are still in the days of divine healing. I want to tell somebody this afternoon, if you find yourself in a situation for some years, the tablets, amen, and getting you nowhere, I think you need to turn aside, look up, glory to God, and begin to establish the fact that you are the Christ. You are the Christ. And you are able to heal me. Hallelujah. Could somebody give the Lord a clap in the house of the Lord? The timing was right. I'm not going to get to that. The timing was right because what some people believe. You know, we have some believe different things. Some people believe it's 60 days before his crucifixion. And some stretch it along 6 months. But the fact about it is he had to do that before. You are the Christ. Not Selassie I. Not Buddha. No. No, not Alonzo Shaw, fifth president of the Mormons. Not he. No. No, sir. Not Buddha neither. No. Not Joseph Smith neither. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. Not our superintendent of New Testament Church of God. I sure is not you. And it's not me. But you are the Christ. That's your identity. You are a spot
all by yourself. No one can come in your shoes. Glory to God. No one can heal a person like you do it. No one is able to cause man to walk on water like you do it. You are standing in a category all by yourself. In fact, the Bible tells us he made the world and everything that there in it.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to do some studies on that. Eh? We can do some studies on that thing. That's sweet. This message, you go to preach this message, you stay there for the whole day, the whole night, and at midnight, if somebody sleep and they fall, then deliverance has to come. Okay, you can't finish it. So you say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, look at this. The Spirit of God move into Peter and make the declaration. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see the three in one there? See Trinity? You see it? Yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not only this. This was the only place, or the first time, that particular statement was made. We have a lot of statements about Christ, the living God, and what have you. But Peter, through the Spirit of God, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not the dead God. The living God. That's who you are. And then when the announcement was made, when Jesus declared that profound announcement, he had Jesus of those. Blessed. Somebody say blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. No. When you go, I'm sorry, the word Peter and Petras and Petra, we have all different type of thing. But you see, the thing about it is, in this particular word in there, Jesus did not say Peter, you know. Or he said Simon Bar-Jonah. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So we don't go into the Petras and the Petra, right? Because we know that Jesus is a humongous stone. Nobody can topple him down. Peter was a chisel from what have you. Amen? And the announcement was that the place was very rocky too. Right? So he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of John. For flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter now. Yes? Petros. A chisel. I will build my church. Yes? Christ is the one that built this church. Nobody can build it. We give gifts that can build Christ's church. If a person don't have the saving grace of God, your gift means nothing. They go eat your money, they go eat, they wear up your clothes, they go. Man, they go feed sumptuously. But it's until that person have a personal encounter with God. So he says, I am building my church. Thank God for Jesus. Can I say this, Bishop? For some people, if they were the ones that built the church, we are a human soul in Church Avenue, Church of God. I say for some people, it was them that was building the church. There wasn't a soul here. Maybe you. Probably Amy might go. Mm-hmm. When every Sunday she comes, she sees us, Pastor and me. And your child, pastor, behind your child. After some time, you started saying, "Boy, watch. Better you just curse God and dead." I'm telling you, she don't do that. But what I'm saying is, Christ is building his church. So, in spite of how much people run their mouth, the church is growing. Glory to God, who come in and go out, because it was not of us.
The church is growing. Can I speak to somebody? Amen. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do or what he tries to say, whether he comes in the morning, midday, or evening, whatever time he comes, Christ is building this church. You know where Christ stands? Glory to God, in a position of authority where no one can dethrone him. Glory to God. There is no election. There is no set date of election to overthrow God. No one can compare to the mighty God we serve, the great creator. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the same God that says, stretch your hand, Moses, and do some miracles. Can I speak to somebody? And he is the same God that is ruling and reigning in the church of God. Any church, any congregation, any building that upholds the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in its entirety, Christ is the head of that church. And this is why we cannot go down. The revolution in Grenada went down. Prime ministers come, they go down. Nobody. Your chest could be big as you want. You could lift weight until you become. You know somebody lift weight? They lift weight so much until they come like. They're too big. They're looking foolish. They're looking not a human being. They lift weight too much, man. You know what I'm saying? There is a blind who could go. It doesn't matter how big you become, how educated. Whoa, yo, spirit of God, drop something in my spirit right now. He dropped that in my spirit. It doesn't matter how educated you are. You can't go over God. Your education must stay in a certain level. Can I speak to somebody? Because this is prophetic right about this time. And some people think because you have a bachelor's degree, amen, you are above little Amy. No, sir. God ain't really grading you because of your bachelor's degree. God. God is grading you based on your personal relationship with him. God is grading you because of the things that you are going to do for him. Glory to God. Not your educational background. Not your family background. Glory to God. You could come from a mighty name. There are some titles that when you hear it, you just ring a bell. Right now, Obama. Some people would want to get in the presence of Obama. When I was in Grenada and listening to television, I used to see T.D. Jakes. And sometimes when the man preaches, I feel the power of God all in my living room. You know what I'm saying? I'm wishing one day I could really see that man in person. The Lord brought me up to pass Bishop Eric. Amen. I think Ike was supposed to go. Amen. Glory to God. He says, no, let me bring Pastor George. I was sitting just a few minutes away, not seconds away, from T.D. Jakes. I look at the man's shape around and I say, Lord God, he is indeed a mighty man. But T.D. Jakes is not greater than God. I say, T.D. is not greater than God. Hallelujah. I am not greater than God. Tim Hill is not greater than God. He is the great God. He is not the greatest. God is not the greatest. He is the great. When we talk about the greatest, we compare him. No comparison. He is the great God Almighty. He is the omnipotent God. He is the mighty potentate. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the love of my soul. He waked me up this morning and he set me on my way. He said to him, I'll give you now the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom is a sort of a qualification for us not to get tied up with the powers of darkness. You know why? Anytime a person has keys in his hand, there is certain authority that he walks with. Yes, man. Later watching me there, I had some authority one time because a guy, amen, came to Grenada, get to know me, did some work for him, fall in love with my work and everything else and my honesty and so big. I used to leave money all about the place. Yeah? And trying to see if he could catch me taking up his money all that day. Yeah. Amen. So we got our relationship. And the man dropped his whole bunch of keys for everything. Not only that, you know. The man gave me his car. He said, drive, see me. Oh, Lord. I'm a man of authority. So I drop in the car and get my wife and we turn the key and I hit him up the beating. Wow. Hands and doors. I have authority. Look at me, man. Jump up the car. And I did not even time. I saw into the authority of that car. I don't even have time to open the door for the wife. Mm-mm. Turn off my car. And then I'm saying, my car. I have authority. Amen. Put the key in my pocket. Clink. I jump in, and all the time I'm in church, I still know I have the keys. It doesn't matter what somebody say, I have the keys. Can I speak to you now? It doesn't matter what nobody say. The Bible says God has given to us the keys of the kingdom. To open, to shut. This key serves a two purpose. One, we can open the windows of heaven and ask God. And the next thing, we can shut up the kingdom of God help me, and a man. Shut up the kingdom of darkness. When somebody tries to say some evil about you, get the keys and shut up the kingdom of darkness. Come on, somebody. When they try to mount you and humiliate you, and like they did to Jesus. Once that people say you are wine bibber, you are Beelzebub, and you're casting out devil because of devil. You're a devil for yourself. Jesus, not to worry with that. When Jesus go to the next town, he don't worry about what them say. A blind man come be healed in Jesus' name. Mm? Don't worry about that. Listen to me, man. Look, church, this is the 21st century. And we have to get back into solid Christianity. We too weak. We behaving like people that don't know Jesus. We don't know the quality. We don't know the characteristic of Jesus. We don't know the power of Jesus. We walk around like some zombies, like some person who they make and they put a thing and you have a remote. Oh, God, help me, man. And who make us in this is the enemy. So he pushing us to accept all kind of evil and wickedness. When we accept some stupidness, and I call it stupidness, because sometimes it's just foolishness. If a person tell you, oh, that's their business, so why you can't just open the key and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at me. When you have your nice hair and you drop it in front of you. Eh? You man, when you hear this stuff in your living room or in your bedroom, you cry. Maybe you might cry. But don't leave the bedroom crying, no man. Glory to God. Recognize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and come out in society and you flick back your hair. And your style. You're a child of God. You are shining. You are shining. The Bible and the Bible, you are wise man, said that be wise shall shine. We are lights of this world. The Bible says a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid, neither do men take a candle and put it under, but it produces a light. Put it outside, it produces a light so that all can see. Church of God, I am calling us to be real with God. Understand that He is a great God. He is a mighty God. Understand He's still able to calm the storms of your seas. Open the windows of heaven, man. He said, listen, he says, this key I've given you, whatsoever. You didn't know that. You sure? Well, stop groaning and moaning and weeping when somebody says something about you that is negative. Remember, I say negative. If you give them reason, repent. Yeah. If you give them any reason, they'll just repent. But if there's no reason, Rejoice. Open the window. Open. Get the keys. Somebody need to get the keys. Let me see those of you have keys inside here. All of you have keys. Some of you are your own house. Yeah. You have a key on the inside. And you keep on it in your pocket all the way you're going. Amen. So anything happen, you can move. Get that spiritual key. Jesus told him, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's who we are. That's who we are. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Who is this Jesus? I'll close with this. And that might be the most important thing in this message today. During that prophetic and profound declaration about Christ's ministry and the person that he was set up to take charge of things, we had one guy. With all of the others, there was one guy. There was one guy who was involved in everything. He was close to Jesus. He heard Peter spoke for him too. Oh God. But this one guy, in spite of all it was an all declaration there, he missed it. Judas. Judas. I want you to think deep this morning or this afternoon. I want you to go deep. Look into your spirit and see whether or not you really know Jesus. You can speak as a very powerful and personal testimony. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the savior of this world. You are the one, amen, that is able to do all things. I want everybody to reverence God at this time because this is the heart of the message. I don't want you to miss this year because this is what the Lord has placed in my spirit. Sometimes we have persons right in the church involved in everything and they're seeking a way to destroy the church. The Bible says that Judas sought for an occasion, an opportunity to crucify Christ. Ah, you say, Pastor, it's not me because I'm not crucifying Christ. Anything you do against a brother, any evil you speak against a brother, any evil you speak against a pastor, then you are in the same position. So why is all of the laughter and the glamour of this message would have subsided? I come to a time like Jesus, and he is saying, no, Church Avenue, Church of God, each one of us, every one of us, who do you say that I am? Think about it in your spirit. Do you really know him? If indeed you know him this morning, the Spirit of God will speak to you. This is like how he revealed to Simon Peter to make the right declaration toward the Christ. You would make the right declaration this morning. Listen to me. Nothing wrong, Bishop, in a person in the house of the Lord and not really where they should be. You're serving God for a long time, but somehow you will drop some way. It's nothing wrong for you to stand up and say, look, I want to get back where I'm in God. I want to make that testimony. I want to have that personal declaration that I know you, God. You are God. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be a Judas in the midst. Amen. I want to make it right now. Because I want to enjoy my time. We sing some powerful songs this morning. I want to enjoy that place. I want to sing and dance about. In this very solemn moment,
when the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts. And you're saying, Pastor, I received this word this morning or today. I really know who I am because I know all is not well with me. But listening to the word this morning, it is a yes, yes, that I'm going to make it right. And I am going to forget about public opinion. I'm going to forget about what John said about me last week or yesterday or last month or 2 years ago. And I'm going to stand in declaration here this morning that you are the Christ. As every head bow. As I pray, Spirit of the Lord, God, I ask you to move over this congregation here today because you're concerned about every one of us. Your desire is for none of us to be lost. And sometimes, God, we just drift away and our firm declaration is no more. But this is what we need, God. I need you. As we bow this morning, it doesn't matter who you are. As we bow this morning, you can make that move by just slipping your hands up quickly and say, Lord, I don't want to be one that will cause strife or confusion or nothing like that in your presence, in your house. Slip your hand up. I want to pray for you right now. This is a very serious moment of decision. If there's somebody, quickly slip that hand up. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe it's just one. Yes. Stand with me, everybody. Stand with me now. Stand with me. I know sometimes a difficult thing is for you to walk out from the crowd. You know, I know what it is. I know what it is to be preaching and preach the word of God for several times. I also know what it is to get weak and feel cold. And in spite of everybody around me, I'm still feeling lonely. I'm still feeling there is a emptiness. And even preaching, I stood up. Remember one time, a guy came and preached the word of God. And he asked a person to come up. And I was the pastor. I moved forward because I didn't have it all. It's not you go out into, you know, some big sin. But you know for sure you're not where you're supposed to be. And if the devil would able to get us to continue to remain in not where we're supposed to be, sooner or later we're going to have some negative thoughts about who God is. So this is why I ask you, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you right now. Come on, slip that hand up. Because I know there must be somebody here that just need a prayer. You're lonely. God bless you. I've seen that hand. 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 God bless you. Every hour. I've seen that hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I've seen that hand. 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 Yes, I've seen that hand. I've seen that hand. Yes. I've seen that hand. Hallelujah. Is there somebody else? When you just slowly now, slowly, when you're in church, you feel happy. When you're home, you feel rotten. There is no joy. Look, I'm speaking here because God would have sent me at this point in time here. So what God wants to do is to repair all of those damage. And this is why I'm pleading. Yes, it is until I feel that peace that yes, all who supposed to lift their hand has done it. Then I can move from here. Because you don't want me just to deliver this message and just run off. We want to minister to you. So for the last time, God bless you. I've seen that hand. And there's somebody else. Dio, I need thee every hour. Every hour, I need thee. Oh. You may feel that, hey, Pastor, I know where I am, but I think I can make it. I came out of some situation last year, and I think what is happening to me right now, I think I'm going to come out. But there's a stronger grip now than then. The enemy is, and has put you in a place where you wonder so much that you just don't know. You just don't know. And this is the day of your victory and deliverance. And I don't mind waiting. Is there somebody else? You feel so. The presence of the Lord is so much upon you that you want to move. You just want to move. Maybe you can't even stay in your seat any longer. You just want to move. So as I walk up before this altar here, I want those of you that lift your hands. Let's just come before the altar quickly, and we want to just pray a mass prayer. It's not about everybody, and just pray a mass prayer, because what I believe is when God speaks and people respond, sometimes we don't even have to take no long prayer. It's just a declaration of the victory. In fact, as you move from your seat to come here, already victory is realized. Victory is realized. Victory is realized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What people say about you does not define truth, and it must not define your understanding of who Jesus is and what he can do for you. Hallelujah! Somebody lift your hands. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hands and worship God. We have a good number of persons walking here this morning and or this afternoon. Just a matter of acknowledging and recognizing the true position. And there are those of us standing back there that are in victory. And you should be praying and asking God to touch them and give them that victory that they need. Jesus. Your awesome power is in this place. And because your awesome power is in this place, Lord, your Holy Spirit will move even at this time, and God cause a revolution to take place in the lives of your children, your daughters, your son. Lord, I speak victory to every condition in their life, every situation in their life. Words that were spoken, oh God, and they held it on, their God,
and it gives a negative, Lord, outlook in their lives, I rebuke it today in the name of Jesus. And I am claiming victory, oh God, for every individual standing before me and before us here, your servant, Bishop, Lord. I'm praying for victory. I pray, God, that the Spirit of God will revolutionize their life. There will be an anointing that is resting strong upon them. There is a victory, Lord, that will propel them, Lord, to go on and on and on in the name of Jesus. I break every power, every spirit that does not belong here. Lord, every negative, dear God, that would have come in and has now become a real mountain, a stronghold. I root out, hallelujah, those strongholds. I root out those strongholds in the name of Jesus. I root it up and out in the name of Jesus. Lord, some mind that has gone astray because of negatives that have passed across their mind, I remove that. How your word says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Let there be a spiritual renewal of their mind, their thoughts, their actions, their God, in the name of Jesus. You are God. And as your word declare, we have the keys of the kingdom. I disallow every unpleasantness right now in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I have agreement with you in heaven. And I allow your presence to sweep over. In the name of Jesus.